We're going to go in the book of Matthew. We're going to go with Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Let me know when you got it. As our pastor always says, you know, it's like hold up your Bibles, and those who don't have it, you know, shame on you. Because what? You can't tell the players without the program. We like football, so we have that in common. So when you get to the sixth chapter, verse 33, if you're there, I'm going to read the King James and just follow along. It says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we get started. Sorry, I had to share some things around. Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we just say thank you, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to come together to worship you, Lord, to praise you in each and every way, Lord. We say thank you for the opportunities that you've given all of us. And thank you for the fellowship to bring us here today as we praise you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that today's sermon and your words, Lord, will touch the hearts and minds of those who don't know you, Lord, and will bring souls to Christ, Lord. That's what I pray. And I pray, Lord, that you would decrease me and you would increase your Holy Spirit and the wisdom and power and strength of your word and your son's holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. So the theme of today, you know, the past few weeks we had a tragedy with Kobe Bryant and some of his close friends and his daughter and their loved ones were traveling to Calabasas, and their helicopter crashed. And it really shook everybody to really think about, like, where you're at in your life, where you're at in your relationship with your loved ones, where you're at in your relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Because every time a helicopter takes off or a plane takes off, there's a manifest. And that manifest said that their destination was Calabasas, California. But I can promise you one thing, is I can promise each and every one of you, you can tell me what your birth date is, there's a day that our Lord Jesus Christ will call us home. And that date that they were leaving, their destination was heaven. And we think about that, we think, well, I've taken a lot of trips. I've gotten my car and I'm going to the store. I'm going to the mall. I'm going to visit friends. I'm going to visit family. But I'll be back next week. I've got this, and this to do. But what you really have to think about is, where are you at in your relationship with Christ? Amen. And if they knew where they were going, you know, like the last sermon, I asked you the question, are you ready? You know, we started out in New Year 2020, and everybody's got all their New Year's resolutions and all the things that they want to think about and do. But no one that I know of has come up to me and said, oh, I want to, you know, make God a priority in my life. I want to make sure everything is right. It's just something that we just don't really think about. We think, well, it's kind of a given, and it's not, because that's reality. When they got on the helicopter, they were on their way to heaven to see our Lord Jesus Christ. And after that, it seems like everybody, because Kobe was such a great player, and he put so much time and effort into what he did, his mantra, his slogan was what? The Mamba mentality. And everybody, you know, everywhere you go right now, everybody says, I've got the Mamba mentality. They don't even know what the Mamba mentality is. What the Mamba mentality meant to Kobe Bryant was, whenever he came in the league right out of high school, which showed that he was a phenomenal player of his time, but he also came in the league when there was still Michael Jordan. and other great players. But that meant that he would put in the extra time. He would put in the extra effort. And that was what was make him great. He would come back from games, and as soon as he came back, his partners would go and spend time and with their families, everything else. I'm sure this was before he was married. But he would go and he would practice basketball and do everything that he could to become the absolute best at being in basketball. That was the Mamba mentality. So I ask you today, thinking about that and coming from the verse in Matthew 6:33, is do you have the kingdom mentality? Now, when we look at the verse and the sermon, the background real quick is Matthew 6:33, and it's the gospel written by Matthew. And if you know who Matthew is, he was a tax collector, and a lot of the Jewish people didn't like him and thought, well, why are you even a disciple? Because at that time, tax collectors were known to charge a little extra and put some in their pocket. they might still do. But yeah. Jesus selected Matthew and Jesus because Jesus knew in his heart that he was what? He was honest. But they didn't understand, well, how could you pick this person? Because Jesus knew his heart. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 come from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. This is where they talk about the Beatitudes, the state of great joy. You know, come from the meek, the merciful, pure of heart, the peacemakers, and the other ones will come in the Gospel of Luke. And these are basically from his Sermon on the Mount whenever he got up there and he sat down with his disciples and the multitudes, it says, of people came up there. He was basically saying, this is a guideline for you to live by. This is what I want you to do. This is the way I want you to treat one another. So these are his guidelines to live, and basically this chapter and this verse summarizes the entire sixth chapter. So when we look at seek first the kingdom of God, if I ask you a question real quick, how many of you consciously make Jesus a priority in your life every single day? You don't have to raise your hands, because I know in spirit, everybody, I do. Now, I'm not talking about whenever you plan your day, and then what you do is you say, Jesus, help me make it through it. I went here, and I went there, and I went probably some places I shouldn't go, but when I get there, and I don't know if it's going to work, let me pray to Jesus, and maybe he can help and make it happen. No, in reality, what you need to be doing is you need to put God first in everything that you do, and then plan your life around it. And that's the problem that a lot of people have right now, is that we're trying to figure out how we can maybe pencil him in, how we can fit him into our schedule, and it's the opposite way around. And when you start thinking about it, even back the Old Testament, it's like when they didn't follow the covenant of God, what happened? Bad things started to happen. And as you look around the world right now, when people are not putting God first in their lives, we're seeing things and we're like, oh my gosh, there's a disease, and there's countries at war. There's people in offices that are making strange decisions. Well, we read this book before. It shouldn't be a mystery where this is coming from. It's actually coming full circle. And whenever the Israelites, when the Jewish people were doing what was honorable and favorable to our Lord Jesus Christ, then what? He always blessed them. He always blessed them. Brought them out of Egypt, and then brought them back again. But remember, if we want to even go into all the way back in the Old Testament, you know, we look in the book of Haggai, whenever the Jewish people were enslaved in Babylon, it wasn't until Babylon was defeated by Persia that they were able to be released and go back home. And when they went back home, they had a homework assignment. And what was the homework assignment? It was supposed to bring back and build the temple, correct? And they, you know, of course, they got some opposition. And like, unfortunately, some of us, when we get opposition in our life, what do? We switch course and start doing what's easier. But this isn't what our Father asked us to do. And for about 16 years, they discontinued building. And you look at the book of Haggai, and it says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, Lord, says the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord? Because my house that is in ruins, well, every one of you runs to your own house. Because they put themselves first. They were not seeking the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is basically the spiritual realm in which God reigns, or the fulfillment of God's will on earth. Now, when you're talking about, well, what is it to seek? Well, seek is defined as to attempt something to obtain or achieve or ask for something from someone. So we should be seeking God's will. We should be seeking God's word. We should be seeking a life that is also in combination with what? His righteousness. So we should always be seeking the kingdom of God first. So what are you willing to give up to get to the kingdom of God? You know, there's old songs. You know, I always like old songs, and sometimes I always bring them up. Well, actually, all the time. But there's an old song. It's an old hymnal song, and it's called "I'm Leaving All to Follow Jesus." Does anybody remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And it says in there that I'm leaving all to follow Jesus. I'm leaving all this world away. I'm stepping out unto his promise, and all I have is his today. You know, back in the old days, people had to give up something to seek Jesus Christ to get his salvation. You know, they moved sometimes different places. They would leave their families behind. You know, think of his disciples. You know, whenever Jesus went up to Simon, who he called Peter, and his brother Andrew, they got their nets. They were getting ready to get out on the boat and everything else. And Jesus just walked up and said, "Follow me." He didn't say, "Hey, excuse me, if you're not doing anything on Friday, I wouldn't mind if you just kind of come with me for 3 years and not talk to your family and your children and everything else. If that's good with you, then we're good." No, he just said, "Follow me." And back in those days, that was enough. But we as Christians and Christ followers, if we went up to somebody during the drive-through prayer and everything else, and Minister Caldwell said, "Follow me. We're going to New Beginnings." How many people are going to follow? We would hope everyone. But back in those days, when Jesus said something, his word meant something. And somehow it's been diluted by the world today that we live in. But this is something back from the Old Testament that goes into the New Testament, that we know that just like the Jewish people, all of his children, when they fall out of good graces, there's always a way back. There's a poem I wanted to share with you real quick, and it says, "You only have one life, and soon it will be past. Only what you do for Christ will last." I heard that one, and I said, that fits this completely, because it shows the focus of what we should be focused on in our lives, and you know, our New Year's resolutions. Everything that we do is putting God first and seeking his kingdom. Now, what does his righteousness mean? It's the quality of being morally right or justified. In the Bible, it refers to ethical conduct. So if you think about sin on one side, being righteous is on the other end. That's what you're supposed to do. A life that is pleasing and honoring to God, that follows his word. That's what being righteous is. Are we all righteous? No. But we're righteous through what? We're righteous through through the death of Jesus Christ and how he washed our sins away. He had to live a sinless life so that we may one day experience righteousness. But it was through his crucifixion, him being crucified and him rising from the dead and his ascension, that we have the things that we have, that he forgived our sins, that we were going to have eternal salvation, but it was through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not through something that we did or somewhere where we could go and get a couple of orders of righteousness or through some drive-through. It's something that we also have to actively seek. It's not just something that when we get up and we walk out of the door, it's going to come to us. It's something that we need to be actively participating. Remember back to Kobe Bryant? He wasn't just great because he played basketball. It's because he put in the work and everything that he needed to do to be the absolute best. And that's something that we should be doing as Christians, because we're following the absolute best, our Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't have any jerseys. He didn't have anything else. He didn't have any records or anything like that. But he gave us so much more, and that's what we should give him, the honor, the glory, and the praise every single day. And if he's done great things for you, I hope you stand up and say hallelujah every single day, because every day is not promised to us.
All right.
And in 1 John 2:29, it says, if you know that he is righteous, you know that, and everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. So he's also in you, because you're following our Lord Jesus Christ. And all these things, actually, let me go back real quick. Another a good verse talking about righteousness comes from Proverbs 21:3, and it says, to do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. So live a righteous life. Treat one another as you should be treated. When you look at the Sermon on the Mount, those Beatitudes, he's talking about how to treat one another. You know, and he's talking about, you know, don't point out a speck in your brother's eye when you got a plank in yours. And he goes on and on and on. It's like, but these are the things that he was talking about on his Sermon on the Mount in the days of the first book of the New Testament. You think, wow, that's a long time ago. But these same sayings, these same guidelines are just important to each and every one of us today and how we live our life as Christians. Now, there's a lot of people in the world, and it seems like right now, especially with the younger folks, it seems like that whatever's good, whichever way the wind blows, well, that's where you have to make a decision. That's where you have to make a decision to follow Christ. That's where you have to make a decision to seek his kingdom and to live a righteous life. That has to be your decision. He can't do it for you. He's already done enough for each and every one of us, but you got to put in your work as well. Now, how do we know, whenever he's talking about, and all these things shall be added unto you? Well, you know, at that time, you know, he talks about, and you go back, I think it's to the 25th verse there, and they're talking about, you know, why are you worried about, you know, what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink? Does that sound familiar, like all of us? Yeah. Some of us probably think, well, what are we going to eat when we leave here? Well, we're going to go get something to drink. And everybody already knew what to wear, and you look very, very, very nice today. So, but these are the things, these are the basic needs that his people of that time, that they were worried about. And what Jesus was saying is, don't worry about these things. I'm going to provide, your father is going to provide them for you. And he talks about, you know, the birds flying and how they don't have, you know, that I know of, some drive-through that they go to, or Costco or whatever it is that they have, and get their food. But it says that our Heavenly Father provides for them. So why wouldn't he provide for you? And that's something that we don't think about. We're always like, you know, I don't mind praying, but I must have a plan B to fall back on. And we don't need a plan B. The plan B is called, you need to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
And if you have faith, then that's what's going to help you when you're like, hey, you know what? I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, but it's just not getting there when it needs to, what I think that I deserve. You know, whenever he says he's going to provide, he's going to provide for you what you need, not what you want. It's Jesus. It's not Santa. And he's not making a list and going to check it off for you, okay? He's not a magic genie. He's going to give you what you need, not what you want. And the thing is, it's going to be in his time. Sometimes that hits at the right time, and we're like, wow, I prayed yesterday, and wow, I'm receiving his blessings today. Wow, thank you, Jesus. And sometimes it's a long time. And then you think about, you know, past relationships, jobs, different things in our lives. You know, these were things that maybe they didn't come to pass. And we wonder, well, you know, he must not be listening to me. No, it's that our Lord Jesus Christ loves each and every one of us. And sometimes we're praying for some things that he knows, one, is not going to work, is not good for us. And he loves each and every one of us so much that he knows that he's going to keep us away from some things. Some things he's going to let us experience because that's going to build our faith in him and renew our strength and everything. Because sometimes we got to go down that dead-end road to go, okay, I tried my GPS, but Lord, I need to go back to yours, which is the Holy Bible. I need to go back to your word. How do I need to go and get where I need to get? I'm going to put it back on you, Lord. I'm going to trust in you, and that's what's going to get me where I need to go. And one of the things, you know, talk about, you know, we like football, and we just watched the Super Bowl not too long ago. I read a story about a member of the Kansas City Chiefs, and he's the center. I think his last name is pronounced Reader, like Brother Reader here. And to tell you about how God provides for you, and I mean, there's probably a million zillion stories, but this was just one that just came across, and I thought, okay, this is a good one to bring forward about him providing for you is this gentleman came out of college. I don't know where it said he played college football, and he aspired to play in the NFL. He wasn't drafted. He was finally picked up, I think, by the Washington Redskins, and only to be on the practice squad. So that means that they don't get to stand on the sidelines. They don't get to look all nice in their uniforms and run out there and all that. They're just the ones that get beat up while the All-Stars get to come out there and sign your autographs and you go buy their stuff, okay? But he kept working, and then he got, I think, a free agent contract with the Cleveland Browns. And I don't know if we have any Cleveland Browns fans in here, but to put it in the right perspective, there are 32 teams in the National Football League, okay? And they rank them by your record. Well, at the end of the season, pretty much all the time, sometimes not, but a lot of the times, they're number 32 out of 32. So, now it is a blessing to be in the NFL. It doesn't matter what team you're on, whatever. But even this team, he couldn't make the starting lineup. They moved him to special teams, which is when they do like the extra points and they punt and do things like that, if you know anything about football. So they kind of moved him down. And after that, it's like practice squad or pretty much you're done. So anyway, fast forward, he was cut by the Cleveland Browns. Even the worst team in football said, we don't need you. Now, most people would say, okay, well, that's it. I don't need anything like that. Okay, well, I'm just going to pack it up. I guess God has a different plan for me. But talking about praying, the word of the power of prayer, and how he will provide for you, this is a great ending to it. He was picked up on a contract, I think, for the past 2 years. But at least this year, he went to the Kansas City Chiefs, okay? And not only was he a member of the Kansas City Chiefs, he was able to move into their starting lineup. He was the center. And the center is right there, hikes the ball, protects the quarterback. That's a very important position. So he moved up, and he was a starting center through the whole season, the AFC Championship game, the playoffs. And he was the starting center that won the World Championship, the Super Bowl. So he is a world champion, you know, Super Bowl champion for the Kansas City Chiefs from a team that people didn't even want. And whenever he was interviewed, he said, the Lord works in mysterious ways, and here I am. To God be the glory. That shows you that he can take you where you think that, you know what, I'm somewhere that I can't even get myself out of. I don't even know how I'm going to make it there. Sounds like the people that were in Egypt, right? And he spoke to Moses and said, go get my people and bring them back home. So wherever you're at, he can take you and he can bring you back home. Well, as long as you believe in Jesus. So now we know what it is about the seeking the kingdom of Christ, seeking the kingdom of God first, his righteousness, and all these things so many things, so many blessings will be provided to you. But how do we get the kingdom mentality? Or how do we get it back? A lot of us say, oh, well, I've had it for years. I've been in the church since I was two. I have it. Well, yeah, but sometimes, you know, even in the military, they used to think, you know, we used to have some training in the Air Force. You know, we always have blue uniforms. So they said, you know, well, we had to get, you know, re-blued. Every so often, you know, you gotta go back to where you came from to basically get your mind right. Get your focus back. Get your mojo back. That's what you need, because you need to get your relationship right with Christ. So the first thing that you need to do to develop the kingdom mentality or get it back is make Jesus a priority in your life and everything that you do. If you're not saved, get saved. Develop a relationship with Jesus. And it says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and always acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. That's basic right there, is that you need to have the relationship, you need to have the faith and trust in our Lord Jesus Christ, and he will provide for you and he will direct you. Not where you want to go, where he wants you to go, where he's intended you to go to carry out his mission to further the kingdom of God. Now, we talked about faith, and it says in Hebrews 11, 1, it says, now faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Which means what? Just because you don't see it doesn't mean you don't have faith in God. Right. I've always said, you know what? It is your belief in God that brings you here to the church. It is the love of Jesus Christ that keeps us each and every day and directs us. But it is our faith in God, brothers and sisters, that will bring us home. I've always believed that. So you need to do is work together with your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and find a church home. Go to Bible study. Connect with other people who are also what? Seeking the kingdom of God. That makes it easier, because if you're out with people in the world that's not their priority, they're going to do everything, because the enemy is going to have you doing everything that's going to sidetrack you, and you need to stay focused. Pray, read the Bible, fast, do everything that you need to do, and this will help you develop that relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ and bring his word not only to understanding but also to clarity and how to apply it to your life. Develop the kingdom mentality. Don't just say it, walk around, I got the mama mentality. No, you should be going around telling people, I got the kingdom mentality, and I'm bringing souls to Christ. I'm one of his disciples, and I'm going to be out preaching. I'm going to tell him, you know what? And all you have to do is, you don't have to sit there and quote every verse and tell him every single word out of the Bible. All you have to do is tell them what Jesus has done to change your life. Right. All you have to do is witness to him, give him your testimony, and maybe that will encourage and inspire them to come home. Amen. We've all been on different paths in life, and I've always said, you know, the Bible is our GPS. Right. Doesn't matter where you go in life, his word will always bring you home. Because it said he'd never leave us or forsake us. Yeah. So that means that if we're in the car, that he didn't move. We did. So we need to get back. And then the other thing that I think is very important whenever you're talking about getting that mom, not mama mentality, but getting the kingdom mentality, is to be true to your walk with Jesus. You know, there's a lot of people that come every single Sunday to church, and I know I'm not talking to anybody here. They believe in Jesus, but he's not a priority in their life. So when is it going to be a priority in your life? When you go and you get diagnosed with a terminal disease? When you, survive a near-fatal wreck? When is it? When you lose your job, your money, everything? When is it? When are you going to say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to follow you? I see what you've done. I've seen what you've done in the lives of other people. I've seen what you've done in the lives of people around me. What can I do to make things right with you? And all you have to do is say, you know, that I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to submit to you. I'm going to follow your word, Lord. I'm going to disciple to other people. I'm going to bring them home to Christ. Because, you know, people say, oh, I don't have a kingdom job. Every single one of us has got a kingdom job. It doesn't matter what you do for a living or where you go. You could be at the store, wherever it is that you go. There's somebody that is looking for you. And it seems like when I've got, you know, my necklace, I've got my cross, it seems like there's a beacon in the night. You are a light to somebody who's living in darkness that will come straight to you, because they might be on that fence, but they want to hear that good word. They want to hear the good word of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when I say be true to your walk, you know, you can't have, if you had the line straight down here, you know, back home they call it, you know, you got to get off the fence. But you can't have one foot on one line in the old ways and the old things that you used to do, your old life, and put one with Jesus and try to start walking. You can't do it. So this is a new year. This is a new beginning. This is a new time for you to renew everything that you had in your fire, your desire, everything that you initially had when you first came to Jesus. This is what you need to do to bring it back and be true to your walk. Don't just tell me and the pastor, the minister, the deacons, you know, your relatives, everything else. So I follow Jesus, but they know the rest of the week that you're not. You know, so let's live it. Let's get out there and do his work. Let's make him a priority in everything that we do. And those things, like I mentioned, that you seem like you've lost, you're like, oh, I just don't have that energy when I used to get up and go to church. I'm not as excited about it. I'm not as excited about reading the Bible. I'm not as excited about praying every day like I should. I'm not as excited about making him a priority in everything that I say and do in my life, because that takes work. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen. It takes work. But all those things, you're like, I lost my strength. I've got sick. I know this thing's happened. I've lost loved ones in my life. What can I do? And the main thing is pray to God and ask him and say, take me back. Take me back. And as I wrap up the sermon, and I really mean it, you know, when preachers say, I'm about to wrap it up, that means we got about another hour and a half to go. But as I honestly am wrapping up the message, we think about the main points, and that is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. And that means seek God first, make him a priority in your life, look to model yourself after his righteousness and all the good deeds, the sinless life that he led. Think about the sacrifices that he's made for each and every one of us, and ask him, you know, take me back. And as I leave you, I'd like to leave you with the words of a song that say the same thing. And it says, take me back. And if you know it, you can kind of, I don't sing, but you can kind of hum or whatever the Lord and the Holy Spirit brings you to do. But it says, sometimes I feel I'm so far from you, Lord, but still I hear you calling me. Those simple things that I once knew, their memories keep drawing me. But Lord, I must confess that I've been blessed, but yet my soul is not satisfied. Renew my strength, restore my joy, and dry my weeping eyes. So take me back. That's what you need to do, is ask Jesus to take you back, bring you back home to the church where it started. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you.
Yeah.
Take me back.
Yeah.
Lord, take me back to where I first believed. All you have to do in your heart and your mind is pray to Jesus and ask him to take you back, and he will take you back to give you that strength, energy, and everything that you need in your power, in your mind, to not only seek his kingdom, but to develop that relationship with him and that walk with Jesus Christ that I tell you, brothers and sisters, doesn't matter where, what car you get into, what day it is, we walk out the door, wake up, go to sleep, that you will be ready to be called home by our Lord Jesus Christ. And in the meantime, we got things to do. We got work to be done. Lord, take me back. Take me back to where I first received you, Lord. Take me back to where I first believed.